Hello, this is Monocle Reads. I'm Georgina Godwin, and my guest today is Thomas Gomez, a lawyer turned writer. Thomas is the founder of World of Words Stadt, a literature symposium taking place this weekend in Switzerland that hopes to be an international celebration of storytelling in all forms. Thomas, it's a real pleasure to talk to you and such a disappointment that I can't be there in person. I know that we had put significant planning into this to try and make sure that happened, but of course we have been scuppered by the virus.
Well, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to speak to you, and at least we can console ourselves with the knowledge that we tried our best to have you here, and there'll be many, many more wild stads ahead for you to attend in the future.
Fantastic. And of course, our editorial director, Tyler Brulé, will be there. And we'll get to that a little bit later on. But I'd like to start, Thomas, just looking at you. Who is Thomas Gomez? Where were you born?
I think the most frequent answer I give to this question is half French, half Greek, born in London, educated in New York for university and law school, and living in Stade, Switzerland, and 100% confused as a result.
Well, your career seems slightly confused because you were a corporate lawyer and now you've moved to be a full-time writer. How did that happen?
So I think the most accurate and succinct way of answering that question is that I think for everybody, there comes a time in life where if you're able to, you have to give your dreams a shot. And I had always wanted to be a writer since, early teens at least, and had been steered in a more responsible direction by well-wishing parents, saying that writing is not a stable profession and you should study this and study that. And so I turned out to have quite a good ability for law and followed that route. And the next thing you know, you wake up age 42 and realize that you've been doing a job that you don't want to do, and you've let your dream fall by the wayside. So a few years ago, I felt a sort of wake-up call and just realized this is what I have to do. And what I mean by that is what I have to try and at least give that a chance. So I sold my apartment in London. I moved here to the sleepy village of Gstaad, notwithstanding its fame in terms of glamour reputation. It actually remains for most of the year a very beautiful and quiet agricultural village. And I said, leaving all that behind, and I will pursue this passion and this hope to soon be published and share my words with the public.
And so what kind of thing do you write?
So I only write short fiction, that is to say short stories. I'm currently working on two very specific projects, albeit quite different. The main one is a collection of short stories that I'm calling, at least provisionally, calling No Hidden Meaning. And it's snapshots rather than stories. It's vignettes of life. I was, to be fully honest, inspired by a French author who did this some years ago. I have not seen it done in English before, an author called Philippe Delerme, who wrote this beautiful little book called La Première Gorgée de Bière et Autres Petits Plaisirs, which translates into The First Sip of Beer and Other Minuscule Pleasures. And so it sort of identifies moments that everyone can relate to and tells that feeling, describes that moment. And it could be anything from the tragic, like the moment of a breakup of a profound relationship, to the cheerful, which would be, as Delerme did, the first taste of beer and your recollections of it, or for the English listeners, perhaps, or one that can be related to is that beautiful, beautiful summer smell of freshly cut grass, all things that we can relate to, but written in, I hope, a beautiful and relatable way. Over a series of about 25 of them, none of them more than about 2 pages.
Well, you've gone further than being a writer because you're now facilitating for other writers in the form of Wow Stadt. Now tell us about it. What is it and why?
So Wow Stadt is, it stands for World of Words, which I felt covered the whole broadness of, as you had said in your introduction today, storytelling. And what I mean by that is not in the fairy tale sense or in the children's storytelling, but I feel that all literature is telling a story of some sort. And I feel really quite passionate about the importance of preserving the love of literature, the accessibility to books, the joy of reading in modern society all over the world. I think that with the increase of technologies that shorten attention span, people are less inclined to dig into a good book. I think that all the technology and entertainment and films are absolutely wonderful. I'm by no means a Luddite. I think all of that stuff's great, but I think let's not forget about the lessons that we as society can learn from the books that we read, from books that have come to us ever since Homer's Odysseus, all the way up to the present day. And part of what I want to do is to create a dialogue among people who are as passionate as I am about, you know, how do we spread this word? How do we encourage young people to read? And how do we spread this concept that for me is very important, and I think for a lot of people it's very important, is it's a sort of re-education, not just of children, but more importantly of adults who might be not naturally drawn to reading for the pleasure of it. We need to send this message that reading is not a chore. It's not a duty. It's not an intellectual exercise in snobism. It's just an easily accessible way of understanding ourselves, understanding the world around us, and should be enjoyed. People should be able to feel, I can pick up a book and not finish it if it's not doing it for me.
And what form will, you're calling it a symposium rather than a festival, what form will the symposium take?
That's a key point. We settled, meaning myself and the current board of Waugstad, we settled on the term symposium because I felt it was the most accurate. If you call something a festival, it becomes something like the Hay Festival, which of course is, you know, at the pinnacle of successful literary events, but it's a totally different proposition. It's huge. There are hundreds of people, thousands of people, I think, and it's a different, it's a many-day event. We wanted this to be much more intimate, to be much more focused on the writers, and to be more focused on people who really are committed to encouraging this, to learning more about each other's ideas, about each other's writing, being able to share their experiences with other people, but to keep the in-person aspect quite small and deliberately so, so that there's much more interaction possible. And then, as you may know, all of these presentations and dialogues will all be recorded and available for free on the website. So we'll be reaching the broader audiences, broad an audience as we can. But for the actual event, we wanted to keep it small. So symposium seemed like the right word to encapsulate that.
Mm. So who is presenting? We mentioned Tyler Brulé, our editorial director. Now he's going to be there speaking to Oliver Stone.
So he's going to be there speaking to Oliver Stone. Georgina, I cannot tell you how proud all of us at the Waugstad team are about pulling off this event during a COVID year. And that's my way of introducing an answer to your question, which is the people who are presenting represent a perfect cross-section of what I would have always dreamed of. So we have three Swiss authors, Thomas Meyer, Simon Lapelle, and Peter Stamm. Thomas Meyer and Simon Lapelle are excellent young writers, newer to the literary scene than Peter Stamm, who's been around for a while and is, you know, arguably one of the great luminaries of current Swiss writers. They all write in German, but they've all been or are in the process of being translated. Peter Stamm, for example, into 39 languages.
Mm. In fact, Peter Stamm, we spoke to here on Monocle 24, and people can listen to an in-depth interview about his life on our Meet the Writers strand. Carry on. So three Swiss
and so
writers.
And so by way of answer to that question and my point about cross-sections is, so we've got Switzerland, which was always an important part of this event, represented there with those threes. Then we have France represented by an author called Eve de Castro, who first came to prominence with something called The Bastards of the Sun King, it's translated, Les Batailles du Soleil. And then I thought, you know, because I want to encourage this idea of thinking of books and stories as more than just the printed one. We thought, what else can we do and how can we involve a film element? And we were very fortunate, and we are very grateful for the fact that, as you say, Oliver Stone, the four-time Academy Award-winning film producer and director, is coming in from Los Angeles for this event. He's just written an excellent, excellent book called Chasing the Light, which is a memoir of his. And we're going to be talking about that, as well as the other, his second presentation, which will be with Tyler. And that will be more about the interaction between film and book, whereas the interview or on-stage conversation I'll have with him will be more about him as a writer, Oliver Stone the writer, seeing the side of him that we don't see. And then finally, we have possibly, I mean, I would arguably say the leading political satire editorial cartoonist in the world at the moment, Patrick Chappat. And that adds an element of the graphic. So we've got the traditional print authors, we've got the film element, we've got the graphic element, and we've got Switzerland covered, France covered, the United States covered. And we very sadly were not able to have Louis de Bernier, which would be representing an English author, because of the same reasons that you, Georgina, were unable to make it to the event in person, but he has promised that he would be attending for Wildstadt 2022.
And of course, we're not only missing these wonderful presentations, we're also missing lots of great communal dinners and parties and the whole social side that goes along this.
Well, you make an excellent point, Georgina, because that is something that was always in my vision or dream when I conceived this idea, is I want it to be an open interaction of dialogue without any kind of celebrity, without any commercial aspect of publishers trying to promote themselves or their books or their work. It would just be a comfortable environment. And in fact, all the presenters who have been invited were specifically told that we will also be very happy to host their spouses and young children if they couldn't leave the children at home. So it's a very inclusive event. And as you say, it'll be a series of meals that will be in various local spots in the village, and also organizing activities to go on hikes and visit cheesemakers on Saturdays. So it's more than just an academic exercise.
Now, this is all happening this weekend, and unfortunately, the public can't just turn up, and that again, back down to COVID, but they can access what's been going on later through your website.
They can, and I'm glad you raised that, because it reminds me to point something else out that could be interesting for the listeners, is that I never intended this to be as small as it is. So small as it is, we're looking at about 50 attendees and the six presenters who will be coming. But this was done deliberately, not only for the intimacy point I made, but also, as you say, for the COVID restriction reasons. However, it is not only our intention to publish on the website all the professionally recorded presentations to share with the world, but also it's important to note that we're already thinking ahead to next year and the years ahead, where the original concept will hopefully be executed. And that concept was that we will sell tickets for anybody who wants to buy a ticket up to the cap. And I wouldn't want to commit to any number, but you know, we're hoping that in our second year, if we get the funding and if we have the support of literary foundations to help us get off the ground, that we'd be in the 100 to 200 people level with about 15 speakers. So it'll be a slightly different dynamic, but I still think it merits the name Symposium because there is still that level of intimacy.
Absolutely. Thomas, finally, what is your website? How can people access this content? I know that one of the discussions with Oliver Stone, the one he's having with our editorial director, will be broadcast on Monocle at a future date. Tyler will also be checking in from Start on Monocle on Sunday. That will be live. But you do have a great website where people can also get that information.
Yeah, absolutely. You can learn more about the origins of Wildstad, about the team who's behind it, and eventually the recordings when they go up in later in July on www.wildstad, and that's wowgstaad.com.
Excellent. Thomas, thank you very much indeed for talking to us, and very, very good luck for your event.
Thank you so much, Georgina, and I look forward to seeing you here for the next one.
So that is Thomas Gomez and Wildstadt. tylerbrule.com is where you'll find much more information about that. And as I say, Tyler Brule live on Monocle on Sunday from Start, and his conversation with Oliver Stone carried on the station sometime in the future. You've been listening to Monocle Reads. Thanks to the production team of Nora Hull and Sophie Monaghan-Coombs. I'm Georgina Godwin. Thank you for listening.